From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Rebecca Lavoie, in for Virginia Prescott. Thanks to thousands of sanitation officials working around the clock, millions of New York City residents walk the street without being overwhelmed with the overpowering stench and volume of the tons of garbage they produce every day. Robin Nagel has been the anthropologist in residence at New York City's Department of Sanitation since 2006, combining traditional fieldwork techniques with hands-on social science. She examines the often ignored issues behind the city's elaborate and underappreciated system of trash collection. Her new book is called Picking Up. Robin, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Your position within the city's sanitation department, anthropologist in residence, what does that entail?
That position is intended to let me learn about the department so that I can translate the mission and the work and the rhythms of the job to a larger public, but also I want to help translate back to people on the job in sanitation just how vital their job is. They know that, but it's easy to lose sight of that in the day-to-day grind.
You do write that a successful sanitation job is one that is largely invisible. So how far have we come exactly in making modern trash so invisible to our eyes and even our noses?
I would say it's more than just invisible to our eyes and noses. I would say it's invisible to our minds. My students do an exercise where they have to save their trash for 48 hours and bring it in, and then we look at their collection. The exercise teaches them just how completely easy it is to let go of something you want to discard. It's almost as if it's a right. And when you can't let go of it, when you have to hold on to it, that's when you begin to see just how profoundly ingrained the habit is. And then the extension is, since we are thoughtless about what we throw out, it's even easier to then invisibilize, if I can invent a word, the people responsible for picking it up.
Well, as a society, we do manage to avoid talking about it and, as you say, thinking about it. What does that do for us in terms of dealing with kind of what's going on in our lives?
Well, I take that question to a meta level, right? Some of my colleagues tell me this is a little far-fetched, but I believe that our avoidance of trash is connected to the difficulty of facing the idea of death. Our own mortality is kind of suggested to us every time we decide an object is no longer worth keeping and we get rid of it. It faces its own death. So if you face the reality that every object around you is transient, every building, everything, every part of the built world is temporary, you have to accept the fact that each of us individually are also temporary. And in Western culture, in many places, we just have a hard time facing that.
Well, let's talk about those cultural definitions. What can garbage and the different definitions of garbage across cultures reveal about where it's coming from?
If you were to take a bag of household trash from your own home and lay it all out on the table and do an analysis of all the components that went into every single piece of your garbage, you would have a web of connections and industries and extractive processes and manufacturing and global import-export transportation requirements that would show you how profoundly connected you are individually to the entire globe. It's almost like if you could do the archaeology of contemporary household trash, which some scholars have done, it really does show how the contemporary world is one place, one very big interlocked place. If you look at other cultures, especially if you look historically at remnants of civilizations from the past, looking at their discards teaches you a lot about their technology, sometimes their religious practices, their kinship systems, their political structures. It's very revealing wherever you decide to examine it.
You're looking at New Yorkers specifically in the book and how if there were an anthropological look at New Yorkers through trash, like how would that perception have changed given the different policies about recycling, for example? Has the quality of the trash substantially changed? Has what it says about the people changed?
The quality of the trash has changed because we now pull out glass, metals, plastics, and paper, and those are sent to recycling facilities. And what's left is what goes to waste-to-energy facilities or landfills. How then, say, if you did the archaeology of New York City trash today and compared it with 30 years ago, you would have to make some kind of analysis of exactly that issue of policy and waste disposal practices. Because to take those four commodities out of the trash, it changes the entire structure of the disposal system. It also changes economic relationships with the companies that then buy those commodities from the city or charge the city to take them in some cases. In fact, you've just suggested a fascinating master's thesis or dissertation project of looking at sanitation practices from, let's say, 1970, right when Earth Day was being born, and then comparing it to 2014, maybe.
We're talking about the unique anthropology of trash with Robin Nagel. She's author of the book Picking Up, On the Streets and Behind the Trucks with the Sanitation Workers of New York City. You spoke earlier about the people in this work. Sanitation workers aren't typically held in the same level of esteem with other public servants. I think we have a lot of misperceptions and stereotypes. When I was a kid, we called them, you know, the garbage men.
Sure.
How are you trying to alter that perception?
I would love it if people would begin to understand, just because they do the work well and therefore are easy to overlook, doesn't mean they are somehow less important than their cousins in firefighting or their cousins who are on the police force or in any other civil service job. I believe very strongly that in any city, in any town, the people in charge of municipal solid waste are primary workers. Their work is foundational. If they were not doing what they do well, that city or town would begin to suffer very real effects very quickly. I would like people to understand the importance and therefore stop connecting the fact that the stuff of the job is sometimes disagreeable, it's sometimes stinky, right? Stop connecting that fact with the character of the people doing the work. The character of the people has nothing to do with the substance of what's in the truck. In fact, the character of the people, in some instances, is kind of heroic. I don't want to make too broad a claim for that because I think it's easy to overblow that sort of claim, but I do believe that without them on the streets, we would be in very, very big trouble.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the service. You believe that this should be a public service rather than a private endeavor, the collection of trash. And I'm wondering a little bit about that. You have an idea for a museum of sanitation. That's a project that you're working on. Can you tell us about that and how you're hoping that will convey that message?
The Museum of Sanitation, I hope, will help tell the story of what it takes to keep a city like New York clean and healthy and how deeply connected the work of sanitation is to the daily and the long-term well-being of the city. And again, this is not only here in New York. This is anywhere, any urban or town context. People hear about the museum and they say, oh, it's a trash museum. It's not a trash museum. It's a museum about the history and the people and the politics and the economics and sometimes the controversies and sometimes the corruption that really guided the shape of the department. It's a fascinating story, and I would like the museum to help tell that story, and also to have exhibitions and programs and whatnot that would be about educating the public to the demands of the job today and the ways in which doing that job well plays into bigger environmental concerns that help a city moving into the future in which environmental issues are ever more urgent, right? We have to pay attention to this in ways that it's no longer just the worry of tree huggers and hippies. Issues of environmental well-being for the planet have become national and international conversations across all fields. And sanitation plays a key role in that, which the museum would reflect.
And you're being embedded, so to speak, with these sanitation workers. You have picked up some terminology. The end of your book has a really great glossary of some of the terms you've picked up. I'm wondering if you can share a couple of your favorites with us.
I sure can. Putting that glossary together was a lot of fun, and I keep hearing about terms that I didn't know. I wanted it to be absolutely exhaustive, but the beauty of slang is that it's very dynamic and it's always changing and growing. So there will be terms that are included in future editions of the book that are not in the book now. One of my favorites is an old one, disco rice. That means maggots. And if you've ever encountered a trash can full of them, you know exactly how perfect a description it is. A slightly derogatory one, a gold chain garage, that indicates a garage where there are many people of Italian heritage.
Hmm.
It gives me a chuckle, but it's not meant to be offensive. Urban whitefish. This is not, I have to confess, not exclusive to sanitation. It just means a condom floating in the water, like in the river. A white shirt. Again, not unique to sanitation. It's also used in the police and fire departments in New York and probably in other cities. But the white shirt is the person who commands the garage, the person in charge. And that's because the sanitation worker uniform is green. The supervisor uniform is a different shade of green. But the superintendent, who's the equivalent of the captain, he wears black pants and a white shirt.
We just have a minute left, Robin. But before I let you go, I have to ask, given your scholarly approach to refuse and what it means, are you ever tempted to sneak a peek into a person's trash bin if you're visiting their house or walking by?
I don't want to confess yes, because no one will ever invite me to their home ever again. But yes, yes, it's actually something I have to tell myself to not do because it's rude.
Well, Robin Nagel, anthropologist in residence for New York City Sanitation Department and author of the book Picking Up. It is a fascinating read. Thank you so much for joining us and telling us about it.
Thank you.
We've posted links to more on the book and Robin's exhaustive look at what we throw away at wordofmouthradio.org.